Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward and again to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, so that as He teaches us the knowledge and the wisdom of this your word, Father, that we'll be able to keep and hold on to that which we need in order to walk in your kingdom and in your way. Now, Father, be with us through this study. Bless us, Father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3. And you know, here again, we're going to start out with you ladies, giving you some warnings about some things to do and all. But two, you men are not going to be left out. You got some things coming too. All right. So we get into this. Verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. In other words, ladies, if you are a child of God and hubby's not, don't ridicule him and things that way and try to get away or nothing, but live your lives for the Lord. In front of him, keep your conversation according to the word, and eventually he'll come around. I can give you an example of what I'm talking about. My wife now, I am her second husband. She's my second wife. We both have been married before. My wife passed away. Passed away a young lady. She was 55 years old when she went to meet the Lord Jesus. Now, my wife now, her and her husband were living and they had 3 children. My wife was a lady that was a member of the church. She'd take the kids and go to church. She sung in the choir and all. Her husband didn't go. And that went on for several years. But then she kept living her life there at the church, teaching the children. One Sunday morning she got up, the children started getting around, getting ready for church. She saw him dress. She asked him what he was up to. He was going to go to church with her. And he did. He kept going. He ended up being saved. And, you know, he left this life and went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then her and I met, and you know, the first time I saw her, she was with more of her family. I hadn't been introduced to her or anything. I saw her at a senior citizen's place. As I was looking at her, the Lord spoke to me, and in fact, at that time, really, I wasn't looking for a wife. With my first wife and I, everything we ever done, we did together with the children. We had 6. Anyway, I just wasn't looking for one. But as I saw her, I knew most of the other one she was with, and she, to me, she just stranger, and I was sitting and looking at her. Then the Lord spoke to me and told me, said, "She is yours." Well, I had told him the same thing I had told my oldest daughter, but my oldest daughter was trying to get me out. Because I'd just go to work and I'd come home. I'd go to work and I'd come home. Because there ain't no place else I want to go without having my wife knowing me. Anyway, she told me, she said, "Dad, you need to get out of the house." So I finally went to this place. But I told her. I told her, I said, "Look, I'm not looking for no woman." And I wouldn't. But the Lord spoke to me and told me, said, "She's yours." I told him the same thing. "I'm not looking for one." He spoke to you. He said, she is yours. Well, the next day, I'm back at the senior citizens that evening. And the older lady of the group came to me. And she was talking to me. I knew her. We had danced together there at the senior citizens. She said, you know that lady you've been watching? I said, what lady? She said, you know what lady? She said, that's my daughter. And she said, she's a widow lady. She said her husband's been dead at that time was in about 6-7 years. And that was all it was said at the time. And the next week, went back down to senior citizens. And I went and got her to dance. And we danced, we come off the floor, come by the table where she's sitting with the other group. She got her things and come on over the table where I was at. And we made a date then for the next week, on a Friday. I didn't wait that long. I came on Monday to see her. And within 3 evenings, we were engaged. We met in June. We were married in October, on October the 4th. But her first husband met the Lord and was saved by her living her life as a child of God. So this scripture is telling you the right thing. You've got to live it. I'm not saying it's easy, because it's never easy when don't agree on just about everything. And that's also something that could cause a lot of arguments and things and cause one of the other to be upset quite a bit. But she wouldn't argue with him. She didn't fuss at him. And he seen her life and what she had. And he got to the point that he wanted to check it out and see what was causing it. And he did. And he left this life saved and on his way to heaven. Now, here in verse 2, it says, while they beheld your chastening conversation coupled with fear. In 3, ladies, here's where he starts getting kind of on you. Who's adorning, in other words, your looks, let it not be that outward adorning, plaiting the hair and wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. In other words, don't worry about the outside, trying to make it all fancy. because that's not what the Lord is interested in. And two, you see, the ladies of the street are the evil ladies. That is what they were doing at that day and time, and how they were wearing their hair and all of their nice jewelry and things, and trying to make themselves appealing unto man. And they wasn't living a good life. In fact, the Bible calls them harlots. That's what he's warning his ladies, the godly ladies, about. Don't dress that way. And today, most of our ladies are not dressing as they should. You say, well, now you're talking about us now. No, I'm not. He does. He tells you how to dress, really. He tells you not to dress and wear men's clothes. You are not to dress to show your skin. And you know as well as I do that we have more ladies out here wearing their dresses and their skirts way too short. Way too short. A woman back in the days that Christ was here on earth, they were not even allowed to let their foot show. Think about this. Ladies, you are to keep yourselves covered. Now, putting on of apparel, let it be the right. He goes on here and forth says, but let it be the head man of the heart. You see, that's what God's interested, ladies. A heart. In that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That's what he's looking for. That inner person. That heart that's in you. Now, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. They wasn't out there showing themselves off to other men. Now, 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Okay, now. We've been on the ladies here a little bit. But you know, I told you, gentlemen, get too relaxed, because he's got a few words for you also. 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with them according to knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of the Word of Almighty God. Giving honor unto the wife. She's not your slave. She is your helpmate. She is to be put on a pedestal by you and loved by you. You are to take care of her. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And today, we have too much going on between men and women that shouldn't be. And that's why right now, over half of the marriages today fail and end in divorce, which causes a lot of other problems. You see, these are things to really think about. And the men today, most of them really have not taken on your responsibility in taking care of your wife and your family as you should, and loving them as you should, giving your wives the honor that is due her, and the love that she should be getting. Instead, you use her as a servant. No. Now, she has her work? Yes. Just as you have yours. And if both of you will do the work that God has for each of you, that marriage will work. You see, number one, marriage has to be worked at to begin with. I lost my first one. I loved her dearly. As I said, we had 6 children. And my wife today had lost her husband. They had 3. So between the two of us, we had 9 children. And a whole bunch of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Now, eight. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brother, be pitiful, be courteous. 9. Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are there to call, that ye should inherit a blessing. And we have to live according unto the Word of God in order to receive these blessings. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no God. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You see, he's letting us know that we are to watch our tongue. In other words, what we speak, how it is spoken, not to have any evil come from our lips. But all that is good and according unto the word of God. And we are to seek peace. And the only way really we can have true peace is through the Lord. Now, 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Those that are righteous, those that are the children of God, his ears are open for your prayers. He wants you to talk. He wants that friendship, fellowship. It's all due him. But he's against them that are evil. And you know, there's nothing we do that is hid from him. You can hide things maybe from mankind for a while, but even most of that will eventually come out and come to light and will be known. But you don't hide nothing from God, not for one second. He knows it all. And he's letting you know that he's against them that do evil. Now, 13, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Well, we know there are some out there that will talk about you. They'll laugh at you. They'll mock you. But as far as harming you, no. Because you see, forgive them regardless of what they say or do. Now, and if you're a child of God, you will. You'll be praying for them. 14, but and if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't let them trouble you. Don't let them cause you to be fearful or in terror. No. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready to let them know that the Christian faith is to be defended by a reasonable meekness. You do it the right way, but you give them an answer of why and how you got to be that way, which is through the Lord Jesus Christ. 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You see, you keep on, you don't give in. You keep on holding on to the Lord Jesus, Almighty God, walking in his ways. And eventually those that will talk against you and all, eventually will stand ashamed. 17. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. But we all know that, don't we? For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Yes, he took your sins, my sins. He went to the cross and took on death so that you and I could have life to eternity and a spirit that is filled with the love of Almighty God. 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Well, we know he did, because we also know he was there. Now, 20. Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Now, I've got something here that I want to share with you, because I want to show you another example of how men are speaking contrary today and teaching contrary to the Word of God. Now, we know that Noah, his wife, his 3 sons and their wives were all that was saved from the flood, when God flooded the whole earth. Everyone else perished. 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I went to a church not too far from where I live here. It was a Baptist church. They were looking for a preacher. And like I say, I was there, and they was all, I guess, four or five other preachers there. They had this one, this thing, come in. He was an evangelist. Been evangelist supposedly for years. Going to preach the service that night. As they talked to all of the ministers. And then they'd make up their mind on who they was going to put in as their pastor. He spent his whole sermon preaching on how baptism had nothing to do with salvation. Nothing to do with it. Well, but yes, it does. We know that, don't we? I read that to you from Romans 6, if you remember. What happens when you're baptized? Now, it doesn't do the saving, but it does work in the plan of salvation. Because without being baptized and without the putting on the death and the resurrection and the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not make heaven your home. So yes, it has a part in it. We know our salvation comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know we put him on. He comes inside to live with us. And we put him on through baptism. Now, our last verse here in chapter 3. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. You see, with his death and his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven to sit on the right hand of God, the Lord God put everything under him. Everything under him. Think about that. And now, when we become that born-again child of God, the inheritance that Jesus has of the Father, you and I also have. We also receive part of that inheritance also. And we are told in the four Gospels, which we'll be getting back into shortly, that all, here's exactly what the Lord Jesus said, all that believe in me, these things I do, they will do, and greater than these will they do. Because I go to the Father. What are the things he was doing? Do you ever stop and thought about that? He was healing the sick, the blind, the lame. He was saving the lost. Those are the things that he was doing. We want to think that there's just nothing for us to do out here. We can go and hear a few words, and then we can just take the rest of the week and do any old thing we want to do, and everything be all right. But no, that don't work. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12. Like I said, I'll always try to show you that what I tell you is the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I'm going to start with verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He that believeth. That means all believers. There is another place that will actually give you that. Now, there in 13, he goes on and says, and whatsoever, you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And you and I have been told right there that we can do the same thing. We can do the works that he was doing while he was here on this earth. Because you see, it's not us that's doing it. It is the Spirit that is in us, that Holy Spirit of Almighty God, that will flow through you and I. And when we lay hands on the sick, and we have asked God for that healing, and that healing is accomplished, it wasn't our power that done it. It was that Holy Spirit that flowed through you and I from Almighty God that done the healing. But you see, he needs mankind to flow through, to speak through. We are his eyes, his ears, his mouth. We are his arms and legs. We are his way of moving from place to place and reaching out as he guides and speaks to us to do these things. So don't get it in your head, I am a healer. No, I'm not. Yes, I can lay hands on the sick and see him heal. But it's not me. It's that power that is in me, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because they waited for my power to heal, they're going to be sick a long time. But you see, mankind has gotten to the point that he's walking with so much pride and all, and they're teaching so much that is contrary to the Word of God. And the farther we go now in the New Testament, the more you're going to see of it. We're going to be stopping here. And God willing, we'll be picking up again in the morning. And back into his word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we pray for all that will hear this message, Father, and receive it with an open heart and an open mind. And will believe in it, putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that they can come and ask of you, Father, to fulfill their needs, knowing that it will be done when they are your children. Now, Father, we pray for all of the sick, that they will claim that sickness and that healing. They'll deny, Father, Satan is right to be there with sickness. And they do that in the name of Jesus. If their belief in thy power and in thy healing power, knowing that it is by the stripes that Jesus bore that gave us that healing. Stand on it, believe it, and watch it come about. Now, Father, for Israel, we pray for peace. We pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. We pray for this land of ours that has brought so much evil upon its own people. Help us to replace the leadership of our government that is wrong, Father, that's evil. And the leadership that is weak and evil in the churches, and to replace them with righteousness, Father. Your word tells us how each works. Now, Father, keep us in thy word. Keep us according to your will and your way, fulfilling our needs, Father, as they come into being. And Father, may we ever give you praise, honor, and glory. It all belongs to you. And we do this, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we bring this to a close, we give you that praise. Give you honor and glory. And Father, we give you our love. And we do all of this, Father, in our prayers we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good evening. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. And I pray that you'll be with us again come morning. So until then, have a great night. Good evening, all.